So today we're going to continue with Stronger, Better Together. As I've said to you before, it's the only message I've got. Somebody said to me, are we going to change it? I'm not changing it at the moment, but we are changing our focus a little bit. So today's the last time that we're looking at somebody other than Jesus for a little while. We're going to be focusing on Jesus to help us become stronger, better together. But today we're going to be looking at a man called Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus, can you say that? Onesiphorus. Try and say that first thing in the morning when you get out of bed. So we've looked at men, touched on some women, ordinary people who do extraordinary things for God. Ordinary men and women, just like you and I, that make a choice to believe God, to listen to his voice, and when God speaks, to do what he says. As hard as it is, and most often, when God asks us to do something, it's difficult. It's challenging because we haven't yet died to our own self. We like to do things our way and God has a different way. Have you ever noticed that? That God does things differently to the way that we do things at times. So we've looked at some people that I hope would have inspired you and encouraged you to do great things for God, to trust God as you've never trusted him before, to believe him for the miraculous, the supernatural, to believe God to take you to places and use you in ways that he's never used you before. Because if nothing else, this nation needs it. Your neighbours need it. Your family need it. This church needs it. This town needs it. And so I'm praying that you will not wait for somebody else to do it, but I would like you to tap on the shoulder of somebody by it and go, you're it. Okay? You're it. Say, Pastor Robin is speaking to you right now. Can you tap them on the shoulders? Look at them in the eye. He's talking to you now. So we looked at people like Noah. Obedience, Abraham, sacrifice, Joseph, self-control, Moses being unworldly, Caleb being wholehearted, the humility of Isaiah, the distinctive Daniel, the prayerful Epaphras, and today we're looking at loyal Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. So let's look at some scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 13, what you heard from me, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Let me just tell you now, this is Paul's last letter he's going to write. He's facing execution. He's never going to preach another sermon again. He's never going to lead a prayer meeting. He's never going to go and take communion with one of the churches he's planted. This is his last letter. The words that he says now are really important to this young man, Timothy, who has followed him, who has seen God move in miraculous ways. But these are the last words. This is the last letter that he's writing to a young man that he loves with all his heart, yet never going to see him again. When you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. What he's saying to Timothy is, Timothy, I'm going. You won't see me again. But my last words are keep going. Keep going in the faith. Keep holding on to the sound teaching that I have given you. I've taught you. I hope I've taught you well. I haven't got another opportunity to do it after this. So this is my last chance. I hope I've taught you well. Keep going on in the faith. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And I want to encourage you today, guard the good deposit that is entrusted in your life. Guard it, because the enemy would seek to rob you and steal that good deposit entrusted in you. Why is it entrusted in you? Because you've got to then raise up other people and help other people to do the same. But you don't do it yourself, or just yourself. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. And who believes that today the power of the Holy Spirit is within you? Yes? You see, we can't do it on our own, can we? I know I'm preaching to converted, but we have him. We'd never have to do this. Some of you have been giving your life to Jesus for a few weeks. You don't do this in your own strength. You can only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you must guard what's been given you. You must guard it as though it is the most important treasure in your life, because it is. And if you let it go, you will find that the enemy will have a field day with you. This is what he's doing in our nation right now. There are churches, Christians, who are letting go the word of God and what the word of God says, and have become liberal in their thinking and their theology. I haven't even got to my sermon yet. I haven't even got past this first verse, because this is so important for us at the start of this year. There are things that are being preached on the television that are not true. They are lies. But you know the word of God because you've heard it. You've heard it here. But there are some things that are being preached right now, as in the time of Paul, as in the time of Epaphras, teaching that is completely wrong. And if you listen to it and you follow it, you will get yourself into trouble. So you need to hold on to all that you have heard and all that you've been taught. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. May the Lord show him mercy. At this point, he has died, as we've read this letter. May the Lord show mercy to this man, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my change. He often, what did he do? He refreshed me. And he was not ashamed of my change. There were people ashamed because Paul had gone to prison. They were ashamed of him because he's in prison. Paul had to die. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy on that day. What is that day? That is the day when the Lord Jesus returns. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Let's move to verse 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. And my prayer is that you will be reliable people. As we teach you the word of God, you will be reliable people, and that will make you qualified to teach other people with the word of God that you've given, and that you'll go and you'll be reliable with the gospel, and you will share the gospel to the whosoever that comes your way. You see, being loyal to something requires sacrifice. Being loyal to something is costly. It's costly. I know I'm a Birmingham City fan. There's not many of us. I'm doing a funeral on Thursday. It's Ron's funeral that works in the shop for us. He's been with us from day one. He's a Birmingham City fan. There's a few of us in the room, me and Brian. I've been to some games where you think, oh my goodness. But I'm still a loyal fan. Not like people that decide to follow Arsenal or Liverpool one day and then go to another. By the way, Emmanuel and Annie, I have made some good choices in my life, and I do believe you coming here was one of the better ones. So thank you for that. Following Arsenal or Liverpool perhaps wasn't one of the best choices. But anyway, when you have such a person that is loyal to you, can I just say that is sacrificial, that gives to you, that supports you, are worth more than their weight in gold. If somebody says, give me a loyal person that's faithful to me, or give me their weight in gold, you know what I'd want? That person. They're worth more than their weight in gold. You see, being a Christian means above everyone else, being loyal to Jesus. Being loyal to Jesus. And this is why Jesus talks in Revelation about the people that have lost their first love. They give their life to Jesus. They fall in love with Jesus. He's their number one, numero uno in their life. They'll do anything for him. And then somebody else comes in and starts to take that place. Being a Christian means first and foremost above everybody else, more than your husband, more than your wife, more than your boyfriend, more than your girlfriend, more than your mom, more than your dad, more than your children, being loyal to Jesus. And then when you're loyal to Jesus, you show it, you express it in the loyalty to the gospel. Sorry, I've left my Bible there. Could you just pass me a Bible? Thanks, Annie. Our loyalty to Jesus is expressed in the loyalty to the gospel. We don't water it down. But it's also expressed in loyalty, are you listening, to the people that bring the word of God to you. And this for us was loyal to Jesus, first of all. He was loyal to the gospel and he was loyal to Paul, who brought him the word of God. I want to tell you what Jesus will say to those people that are not loyal to him. This is what Jesus, these are the words that Jesus has said himself. Let's put them up. One day when we face him, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, this is our generation we're talking about, adulterous, sinful generation, the Son of Man, that's Jesus. If you're not sure who we're talking about, will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory and the holy angels. So what we're saying here, what's the word of God saying, is there will come a point in time when we'll all stand before the living God and we'll go, well, I went to church and I put some tithes in the offerings and I went to the carol service. That was good. And Jesus said, I don't know who you are. I'm sorry. Who are you? Well, I came to Oasis Christian Center. He goes, sorry, I don't know who you are. You weren't loyal to me. You were disloyal to me. You were ashamed. You were ashamed to tell your neighbours that you were a Christian, that you loved Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm sorry. Don't know who you are. This is how important loyalty is to Jesus. You're either for him or you're not. I'm not watering down the gospel, a message. Sometimes you think, well, God knows. He understands. He does understand. He's a very loving God. He's a very caring God. But he also shows us a way that we're called to live. And he was loyal to the cross for you and I. Do you know that? We sang it today, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. He set his face on that cross. And he went to the cross because he was loyal to the Father. And you know what? He was loyal to us even though we weren't even born then. That's how much he values loyalty. Paul's in chains when he writes this letter. It's not like when he writes the letter in Acts. In Acts, he's hide a house. People can come and go. They could come and see him at any time, day or night. Come do a Bible study with him. Come and pray with him. He's not allowed to go out, but they're allowed to come and see him. This is different now. He's now in Rome. Nero, the madman, has him. Nero, the madman, tortures Christians. Nero, the madman, hates Christians with a vengeance. He is in a terrible dungeon where he's tortured. Maybe daily. He's beaten. And to associate with this man means that you too could be tortured or beaten. Paul is facing execution. He knows it. He knows it's the last time he's able to do many things. And it's during this horrendous time, Paul doesn't have a pity party. He doesn't say, oh, everyone's left me and I feel so bad and life's so hard. Please pray for me. No, he does. He inspires Timothy. He encourages Timothy with Onesiphorus's loyalty. He commends Onesiphorus. We may struggle with his name. This pastor might do, but we can learn a lot from him. So much from this man who is loyal to the gospel. So he travels from Ephesus to Rome to search out for Paul. It's not easy to find him. It's not like the local Shaw prison where there's signposts. Follow this signpost and you'll find him. He had to search for him. His family made sacrifices for Paul. You'll read in Ephesus that Ephesians that you'll find that he sacrificed and his family. He and his family sacrificed a lot for Paul. And now once again he leaves his home, his family behind. Doesn't know what he's going to find. And he travels to Rome, right into the heart of the enemy. People that hate Christians. And he searches out for the man that he loves, that shared the gospel with him, that changed his life forever. Obviously, Jesus changed his life, but this was the man that impacted him. And can I just say to you, it is Jesus that will change people's lives, but you will be the ones that will impact people by sharing the gospel. Seriously. People will say to you, why are you caring for me? Why are you doing this for me? And you'll turn around because I love Jesus and Jesus loves you. This is what happened to this man. 2 Timothy 1 verse 16. May the Lord show mercy to the household because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. What does it mean he often refreshed me? We can't be 100% sure, but he would have probably gone into the dungeon and fed him, brought some food, brought him a cold can of Coke. Emmanuel. Probably not had any water. Maybe because he'd been tortured and beaten, he comes with a bowl of water and he cleans Paul up. Maybe spiritually refreshes him. Maybe he says, come on, Paul, let me just pray for you. I know how hard it is. Maybe he grabbed him and hugged him because they both knew that Paul was due to be put to death. And that particular day might be the last day they ever see each other again. We don't know exactly what he did to refresh Paul, but Paul needed it. He's on his own. Do you know everybody needs encouragement? Do you know that? Even the pastors of the church need encouragement occasionally, once a year. Everyone needs encouragement. The person next to you needs encouragement today. Keep going. Keep walking the walk. Keep holding on to things of the Word of God. So this man, Onesiphorus, risked shame and disgrace of being associated with Paul. He risked being punished. He just said to his wife, I'm off to find Paul. You might not see me again. There's a possibility I might not come back. But I've got to go and see him. I've got to leave you. And said to the kids, I've got to leave you. Maybe had a meal together. Said goodbye to his wife and said, you know what? This might be the last time I see you. And we know that at some point he did die before this letter was written. We don't know what happened to him. But Onesiphorus is loyalty to Jesus meant he was loyal to the gospel and loyal to Paul. I believe, you may disagree with me, and please feel free to do so, that faithfulness and loyalty are highly valued by God. Highly valued. If you want God to value you, be faithful and loyal to him. First of all, and you'll be blessed above everybody else. If there are people in your life that you are in relationship with who are not faithful and loyal to Jesus, you will not share the same values. I'm sorry. Even you can be in the same household and be married to another Christian and still not share the same values. I believe God holds faithfulness and loyalty in high esteem. And for us, if we are going to be stronger, better together than we've ever been in 2023, and I've chosen this word carefully, that needs to flourish. Can you say the word flourish? Needs to flourish here. Faithfulness and loyalty need to flourish here. You need to look out for the backs of your brothers and sisters. There shouldn't be any gossiping or talking about people. You should be there to protect them and help them and love them and encourage them and provide for them. And if they have a need and you've got the wherewithal to provide their need, then you do it. Don't come to the pastor and say, "Pastor, that person needs." And if you've got the ability to do it, then you do it and you help them and you provide for them. And if you can't, you let us know. Faithfulness and loyalty. If we're going to be better, stronger, better together, and this last person that I'm talking about, before we move into the person of Jesus, and we're going to see some amazing things, hopefully, that will help us become better, stronger together, then faithfulness and loyalty need to flourish here. I want to thank God for people like this man who have been faithful and loyal to the Oasis family here, to this church that we have here. The first pastor died in service. His wife, with cancer, served the church to the best she could. This church was birthed on sacrifice, I can tell you. The pastor, far from perfect, was a man who sacrificed so much so that this church could be established and grow. And some of you in this room know him. I was with him when he died, or when he had his heart attack, not when he died. And, you know, he wanted to know about the church. Is the church going to be okay? Not, is my wife or my family going to be okay? Is the church going to be okay? And there are people here today, I know you've given sacrificially to pay off the debt on this building. £1.15 million is paid because of sacrifices that people have given. On one of our collection days, we had £61,000 come in to help us when we needed to have that extra money to start the building and to trust God for the next thing. There were people here that sacrificially gave. And the first thing I said as we started Stronger Better Together is, I'm not going to be embarrassed or ashamed to ask you to give of your time, your energy and your finances, because that is what it will take for us to move to the next level. On Wednesday night, I'm meeting with Team Oasis. If you're part of Team Oasis, you know who you are. We've got an in-person service here, a team meeting here, where I want to share with you what the next part of so important for us. In a few weeks' time, I'm going to share that with you all of where we're going and what's so important. But every pastor, every leader, every life group leader, every youth group leader, every Sunday school teacher, every person that serves on the welcome team, every person that does the communion, every person that works in the offices, every person that works in the shop, every person that we have needs you to come alongside them and to refresh them and to help them. And the pastors need it too. It says 2 Timothy 1 verse 18, may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. So we said we do not know exactly what he did, but we do know he did many things. Many things. Oasis family need people to do many things, to help people. You could sit and go, well, I don't really want to do anything. But you know, there are people here that need refreshing. And the gospel here needs to go out from here. And that means many things. And can I just say, if you are cleaning the toilets, you are also helping the gospel to be preached. Because you're providing a nice environment for people to come to find, when they come to find Jesus, and can hear the gospel and part of the environment. If you're cleaning, if you're on the welcome team, whatever you're doing, you can help in many ways. And as you do so, you help the assisting of the preaching of the gospel. Paul contrasted Onesiphorus' loyalty to the disloyalty of others. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. The stuff that we teach you, You know, when I bring a message, I send out emails with all the notes on. And I can see if you've opened them, by the way. Just big brother. If we send an email to you, we know if you open it. So I'm watching. 100% hit this week. I spend hours on a sermon. And I want to entrust it to reliable people like yourself that will teach others. Because we can't do it all ourselves. What you learn, share with others. Teach other people. One other thing we can learn from Onesiphorus is the importance of supporting brothers and sisters in prison for the faith. Hebrews 13 verse 3. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. People in prison need encouraging. There are people today that are suffering terrible, terrible situations that need encouraging, that need praying for. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, 34 to 40. I don't know whether you've ever read this scripture, and if you haven't, maybe you want to read it. This is what Jesus says. Then the king will come and say to those on his right, these are the people that are in the kingdom now, on his right, face to face, they've come in. And Jesus said, you weren't ashamed of me. In fact, quite the opposite. You were a real blessing to me. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Those are the words I want to hear. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger or invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick, in prison, or go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. You did it for me. This is why Oasis Church does what we do with our outreach in our shops, with our food bank, with our debt. This is why we do those things, because there are people today that are in a spiritual prison. They might look okay. You know, our brother here, Oliver, is in a wheelchair, and we can see that. We want to see him released from that wheelchair, and we pray that he will be. But there are people come through the door in an invisible wheelchair like that. It's their prison. Do you know what I'm saying? There are people physically in prison that we can do something about. And there are people in this world that are in spiritual prison. They're in bondage. They're in chains. And someone needs to go and do the stuff and share the gospel. Tap somebody on the shoulder and say, he's talking to you. Tap somebody on your shoulder and say, you're it. As Christians, we need to be willing to pray, to lobby, to give finances, and to visit people who are imprisoned, especially for their faith. And in doing so, we are doing it for Jesus. Do you know the good old British in Pakistan built some amazing buildings, prisons for prisoners, people that broke the law. Do you know what they're full of today? Christians who love Jesus. They are crowding into rat-infested, disease-infested prisons where they don't have food or water to live. And we built them. Good old Brits. A lot to deserve, a lot to be proud of. Christians who have chosen to follow Jesus, who've been turned in by family members, fathers have turned their back on their sons and daughters and say, you're no longer my children. And they've been put in prison because they are Christians. That's happening today. In a few weeks, we've got Release International coming to speak. Somebody Du Plessis. Anne, are you in the room? Yeah. Somebody Du Plessis is coming. Release International, they're going to be here in a few weeks' time. They're going to share some stuff about what's happening in the world. Today we made a choice. Shall I get out of bed and go to church? That's probably the biggest decision we had to make. Some people, their decision is follow Jesus. I'm going to prison. Say goodbye to your family. You won't see me again. People need encouraging in prison. And you know, I think we've got an opportunity to help people in a physical or spiritual prison. You see, for Christians, suffering is normal. For Christians, suffering is normal. Because the world is against us and the enemy is against us. And it will happen. And don't think it won't happen here. Don't think that we'll be all right. There are changes coming. There are major changes coming that the church is being marginalised even more and squeezed. And you know, if you live a godly life, I can guarantee you one thing. You will suffer in some way for following Jesus. One way or the other. I'm sorry. Come to Jesus and all your problems will be gone. No. Come to Jesus and there'll be some suffering that happens one way or the other. But you know, the rewards that Jesus talks about of being faithful, the rewards when he says to those on the right, the righteous people, come, you who are blessed, receive your inheritance. Most of them will come when Jesus returns for us or he calls us home. There will be some blessings here. There will be some great things we'll see. We'll see people saved. We'll see people baptized. We'll see people healed. We'll see some wonderful things. But most of the blessings for us are out of this world and will happen in the heavenly kingdom. Only then will we be free of pain and suffering and trouble. Are you glad you came today? Let's resolve in our heart that this is the way it's going to be. We had a young girl here from Eritrea. A young girl here. She came for a little while. She had the same birthday as me, although she was a lot younger, obviously. And her father was taken for preaching the gospel. Her brother, her father's brother, I think it was, her uncle, paid for her to get out of the country, ended up on a boat for following Jesus. Some of the people on the boat became sick, so they threw him overboard. Christians. She was then put in a truck, travelled hours and hours with bodies one on top of the other to get here. This is what people are facing today. Let's not complain about little things. The music's too long, too loud, too quiet. Pastor preaches too long. There are people that would love to be able to come to church today and listen to Chris play guitar solo, which I thought was very good, Chris, and I really enjoyed it. Well done. I'm very proud of you as well, Chris. Some people would love to have that happen. They'd love to be able to come to church without having to look over to the shoulder of somebody watching me. But there are people today we need to help, and this church can help, and you can help. So, his last words to Timothy. He encourages Timothy to be loyal to Jesus, to the gospel message, and those who preach the gospel, and to join with him in suffering. Let's have a look at it. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or ashamed of me as his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Don't be ashamed to testify about Jesus. Don't be ashamed to tell people you love him. They might look at you strange because they've not encountered his love like you have. They don't understand it because they've not experienced forgiveness of sins like we have. It's alien concept to them. We need to let them know. And we need to not be ashamed. And we need to walk with our head held high. Say, yes, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'll gladly bear the name of Jesus in my life. And I will testify until the last breath that I take. The last breath that I take. And you know, in effect, we are a prisoner of the gospel. Because when we gave our life to Jesus, we surrendered our own desires, our own will, our own agenda, our own plan. Like we did today, we took the knee and we say, Lord Jesus, your agenda has now to become mine. And everything you want me to do, I choose to want to do it. And the good news is in the power of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is the last person now that I'm connecting in this section of Stronger, Better Together. We're going to start to look at the Lord Jesus Christ now. Obviously, he's our perfect example. Great to see you, children. He's our perfect example.